DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So there's a pretty big narrative and theme, I think, emerging with the national media about Georgia LSU on Saturday. And I have to admit, the closer we get to game time, the more I think the pundits on this one might actually be right. I just, based on some of the numbers we talked about yesterday, the Bear Chris Felica, we showed you that tweet on the show yesterday about how little success top 10 teams not named Alabama have had at Death Valley going back to a 2011. We joked about the old nickname that Les Miles gave to a Tiger Stadium when he was the coach there, that it was the place that dreams go to die. There's some evidence to suggest that's kind of been true. Now, we don't think Georgia's dream of a championship season dies on Saturday. We think it stays very much alive. Around here, we think that Georgia is going to win this game, but boy, I'm starting to agree with some of the experts who think this one's going to be close. I just look at the numbers. I look at what LSU brings to the table. I look at the extra pressure that the Tigers might feel coming off a loss week ago to Florida, and I just think that Georgia's going to be challenged in a way on Saturday that really hasn't been challenged much at all in the last two seasons. A year ago, Georgia good enough to make the college football playoff, but in terms of the intensity of the environment, the quality of the team, Georgia has not been tested quite as much as it's going to be on Saturday. I think a close game is obviously a different kind of game. It brings to mind different things here, but I think that Georgia fans better buckle their chin straps for a close game in Baton Rouge on Saturday. Let me give you some examples of some folks who apparently are thinking the same way. Let me start with CBS Sports Randy Cross. You may remember him as a fixture on NFL broadcasts for a long time, doing some college football analysis work now, and he laid it out on TV this week why it is that he thinks that Georgia and LSU is a game that could come down to the wire. Here's Randy Cross.
If you look at the games like from last week, Georgia kind of struggled against Vandy, and LSU gave up 215 yards rushing to Florida. If they didn't stop that running game, they're going to be nuts about the Dogs. The Dogs go on the road, and they're favored by 7 points. Those kind of games, last eight, they're 7-1 in. So I think they're going to get it. I think the Dogs get it, but by less than a field goal.
So the final point I may agree with him on, this may come down to a field goal type of game. The first 2 points from Randy there, I don't know that I necessarily do agree with. First of all, the notion that, quote, struggled was the word you would use to describe Georgia against Vanderbilt. Not a perfect game. Kirby Smart was not incredibly happy after the game was over with, essentially admitting that his team still hadn't put a full complete game together. But when you win 41-13, how much did you really struggle? I mean, let's not mince words here on that. That may be a bit of an exaggeration on Cross's part, talking about the game against Vanderbilt. And then on the notion of giving up 215 rushing yards to Florida, that's kind of an eye-popping stat. When you think about the LSU defense, they're typically thought to be better than that, but y'all are already aware that home and road are very different scenarios here. When you go into somebody else's stadium, what you do there in terms of yielding rushing yards can be quite different than what you do when you're playing in front of a friendly crowd, which obviously is going to be the case for the most part on Saturday, despite the fact that thousands of Dog Nation folks are trying to invade that state. It's still going to be a heavily partisan LSU crowd, which makes a big difference, I think, for the LSU defense. Staying with CBS Sports here for a moment, though, another analyst, Aaron Taylor, also kind of echoing here the thoughts, though, that Georgia-LSU could be one of these nail-biter games. Here's a little bit more from another CBS analyst expecting a close call for the Dogs here.
This is absolutely a game that LSU can win, but I'm going to take Georgia in this game, and I think it's going to be close. The thing to keep your eye on is what we've been talking about. Georgia's offensive line, watching them against Vandy, they struggled with movement on the outside edge and the perimeter. LSU has a lot better athletes, and with Dave Aranda, recognition and getting a hat on a hat is going to be of the utmost importance. This will be a huge and by far the biggest test, I think, for Georgia. I think they pass it, but I think it's extremely difficult for them.
Once again, that word struggled gets used about Georgia and Vanderbilt. I might have some quarrels with that. I don't know that I would describe it that way. Georgia has had its pass protection issues this season, though. We know that, which it does present a challenge and I think a choice for offensive coordinator Jim Chaney to make on Saturday. And Kirby Smart, the guy that okays and approves on every decision, it's a tough choice for him as well, because are you going to keep tight ends in for kind of a max protection style against what can be a pretty good LSU pass rush? Now, Clavon Chessen is injured. Obviously, that's a loss for LSU in terms of getting the quarterback, but with Lawrence and Fehoko, this is still a pretty good LSU defensive line here. And when you think about Georgia and its best opportunities for big plays, does that come with sneaking Nauta and Werner out into a pass route or allowing them to stay in? And maybe do something they haven't always done perfectly this season, which is provide that extra blocker here, a little more time for a Georgia to throw. We saw a lot of time a week ago for that long 75-yard touchdown pass to a Terry Gowan to develop. Fromm had plenty of time to throw on that one, but that hasn't always been the case for Georgia this season, so that's definitely something to think about. Now, you just heard a couple of guys from CBS, Randy Cross, Aaron Taylor, pick Georgia to win, but a close game, maybe a bit of a nail-biter there. How about Rick Neuheisel, who you may remember as the former Colorado coach, former UCLA coach? He's also a guy that you see on halftime a lot on these CBS broadcasts on the Saturday 3:30 deal. You'll see him on TV on Saturday. He's kind of the weird guy that plays the guitar from time to time, a little bit of a crunchy granola Pacific Northwest type dude, but nonetheless, he weighs in to actually take LSU, believe it or not, to win the game over Georgia on Saturday. Here's Neuheisel on that.
The statistic that we have to look at is that 215 yards given up by LSU, but I think that's going to really rankle Dave Aranda. I think he's going to get that fixed, and while it was a physical ball game that we saw last week, I think LSU will rise to the occasion. They play so much better when they're desperate. Well, they need to be desperate this week to stay in the fight to make that game against Alabama that's going to come in that first Saturday in November meaningful. They have to stay in this game. I think their crowd gives them a lift. I'm going to pick LSU in a really tight game.
So I don't agree with his final assessment that LSU wins this game, but there are two words that he uses there that I do think are pretty apt descriptions here. He talks about Dave Aranda being rankled. That's not a word I use a lot, but in the from the standpoint of maybe not a great showing for the LSU defense a week ago against Florida, a big response in the game against Georgia on Saturday. I'd be surprised if that's not the case. I just think that LSU is a good defensive team. I think good defensive teams, as we said a moment ago, respond in front of a home crowd here. So I do expect a big-time effort for LSU defensively. And then when you think about the challenge of facing LSU, you think about the LSU defense far more than you think about the LSU offense. This is still, after all these years, just an average, okay, more safe than sorry LSU offense here. But the LSU defense is also kind of what you've come to expect from that group over the years. Aranda may be one of the best young coaches in the sport. He's going to be a hot name to become a head coach, I think, maybe as soon as this offseason here. So Georgia's offense has a big challenge against the LSU defense. And when you add to that a reputation tarnishing performance against Florida a week ago, that means that group probably only show even more teeth against Georgia on Saturday. I also think the notion of the team overall at LSU being desperate because it still wants the LSU-Alabama game coming up in November to matter, I think that's also true, too. I just think it's really hard to beat teams coming off a loss. I think if you want to look at the SEC in particular, college football to a certain extent in general, there's a little bit of a zigzag philosophy that kind of comes into play here. When you play really well at home and then go on the road the following week, it's hard to match that intensity. When you have a bad game on the road and come back home the following week, it's a little bit easier to find a level of play that you couldn't find the week before. I think that, you know, if you were always looking for predictions and kind of what to expect in certain games, I think following that thought process is generally a pretty good way to go on this. I expect LSU to play better against Georgia than it played against Florida, but I also expect this can still be the kind of game that Georgia finds a way to be a little bit better than and find a way to get the win. Ultimately, one more clip, though, I want to play for you here, and it comes from a different network this time over on ESPN with Kirk Herbstreit. Herbstreit, when he evaluates the Georgia-LSU game, I think he says something here that, for the most part, I think most Georgia fans are probably going to be in agreement with. We've seen some restlessness on the part of Dog Nation. We've seen some quarreling and squabbling with some of the on-field performances for really no other reason other than Georgia fans have just kind of been bored with a dominant 6-0 start. And I don't want to take the games for granted that have come to pass because you only get 12 of these as a fan. But for the most part, it hasn't been much of a proving ground for Georgia yet. But that changes on Saturday against LSU, and for the most part, it changes for Georgia over the course of the next four games. It sounds like Kirk Herbstreit, the ESPN analyst, very similar to a lot of Dog Nation in that he's looking forward to seeing just how good Georgia really is.
This is the week we find out the real Georgia team in 2018. We know about them in 17. They had a great run, came so close to beating Alabama in the national championship. But Roquan Smith and some of the other players from that team are no longer here. It's a new team and looking for new opportunities to prove that they are a dominant team. What better way than to go through Baton Rouge? I think LSU is going to come back in a bad mood after losing last week to Florida. I think their defense is as good as you'll see in the SEC, incredibly athletic, and they do a good job of playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're going to try to negate Georgia from running the football, which is tough to do. Try to see if they can get Jake Fromm into those obvious passing situations, and then see if they can come after him to try to create some pressure and eventually some turnovers. Georgia's defense is also a defense that I think is very opportunistic. They would look to do the same thing, especially trying to get Joe Burrows to be able to turn the football over, give Georgia that short field to work with on the road.
So I just played you audio from four national analysts, and it sounds like there's a pretty familiar theme showing up in a lot of those words. It sounds like people are expecting a close game in Death Valley between Georgia and LSU. And I think those are reasonable predictions. The closer we get to it, I think the 7.5 points or 7 points, depending on where you've seen it at MyBookie this week, I think that point spread's a little too much here. I think LSU covers that number. Now, as I said, I still think it's a game that Georgia probably wins, but maybe closer than the experts think. But the overall bottom line is that a good game for Georgia against a good opponent like LSU is probably a good thing right now. I think it is time to see Georgia be tested. I think that you learn something more about a team when it has to reach down, battle some adversity, and find a big play late in a key moment here. That's an exciting scenario to see unfold on Saturday afternoon. Can't wait to be there with all of you to enjoy it, and can't wait to talk about it right here on Dog Nation Daily as well. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Good to have you with us live. No matter how you're getting to us today on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, or the Twitter feed, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. No matter how you get to us, we're glad you're here. And have no fear, tomorrow, even though we will be in New Orleans for the show, radio show, podcast, everything else like you've come to expect, it'll all unfold the way it always does. Same time as well. We'll be doing it 9 Central tomorrow to make sure that we're on the air here 10 Eastern time for you the way that you've come to expect. So we're really excited about all of that. Of course, we really appreciate Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. And, of course, you know Marco's. Great offer for you right now if you're settling in to watch some sports this weekend. A little playoff baseball keeping on going. Maybe some, I guess a couple college games tonight, although I don't know if they're on TV. And then obviously a huge day on Saturday if you're getting ready for a big party at your house. How about taking advantage of this offer from Marco's? Two medium, two topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. You can do that every store, every day. It's the Italian way, authentic Italian quality pizza at a great price. No promo code to remember, no coupon to clip, just authentic Italian quality pizza. Two medium, two topping pizzas, $6.99 each. So say hello, Primo, by going to Marcos.com and taking advantage of that great offer. All right, we are obviously knee deep in the discussion about what happens with Georgia and LSU on Saturday, but that doesn't mean we didn't pause yesterday for a really fun broadcast taking a look at four-star safety Lewis Seen, who made it official and announced his commitment to a Georgia, as many of you thought that he would. He was a guy that, and based on some of the audio clips we've been playing for you around here the last couple of days, he was a guy that just seemed to have a very cozy relationship with Georgia. If you're watching on the screen, you see a kind of a cool edit from him, nice animation of Harry Dog there in the background as he celebrates his Georgia commitment there. And Seen is a big time addition to the Georgia program here. Jeff Sintel was on our Before the Hedges program yesterday to explain exactly what Georgia's getting when it comes to the four-star safety year. Here is Jeff Sintel updating us on why Lewis Seen is such a valuable asset for this class.
He grew up in Boston. He was in Florida for a little bit. He grew up in Boston, moved to Texas because he wanted to prove himself in the highest rungs of Texas high school football. He is coached by a lot of former NFL players at Trinity Christian in Cedar Hill. He's a 2019 Under Armour All-American, 6'3", 195, the nation's number 3 overall safety. He becomes the 17th commitment for Georgia in the class of 2019. And this guy will enroll early. And he basically has told me that his recruiting is all done. Don't look for him to visit anywhere else. He's good with this, and he worked his way through his recruiting journey, all according to a very specific plan.
I mean, I think the best thing I can say about Lewis Seen is that, and when I've talked to Georgia fans, Seen is pretty close to as unanimous a choice for Georgia fans as any player at any position for this class. Because for a lot of other positions, you say, well, I may like this running back or I may like that running back. I may like this linebacker or I may like that linebacker. Even in the rarefied air that Georgia's kind of recruiting in, there's still some dispute over who's the true best at that position. I haven't heard anybody make any kind of dispute whatsoever that Lewis Seen's the safety that you want. Yesterday, Georgia got him, which is great news. But of course, Georgia fans don't rest on that great news very long. They become quickly curious as to who might be next. Well, Jeff Sintel also weighed in on that as well about the next domino that could fall here for 2019.
Georgia has to work on its defensive back. But unfortunately, guys like Kyrie Elam, guys like Tyreek Stevenson, they're not going to make their decisions known for a little bit. I would look for, you know, Georgia to sit there and address the remaining pieces of his class. They go after another offensive lineman. N'Kobe Dean is a name everybody's going to bring up, but I think there's some specific timelines, the one for Clay Webb, of course, the one for N'Kobe Dean, of course. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe one more mid-year commitment coming. Always, guys, these things are very up and down. It depends on the changing nature and the cyclical nature of a teenager's mind.
So how about that little surprise there from Jeff, the possibility of another commitment being added in here? We'll have to wait with bated breath to find out who that is. And, of course, plenty of good things happening for Georgia on the football field, but also great things happening in the classroom and in the community as well. We pause here for a moment to celebrate that, because at the University of Georgia, we're dedicated to serving the state of Georgia, its communities, and throughout the world. And we're changing lives and creating solutions for some of the biggest problems. Through our human-centered research, we're committed to unlocking the door to longer, healthier lives by finding solutions for deadly diseases. We're also committed to securing a dependable food supply and maintaining viable land and waterways. And we're committed to fostering effective leadership by enhancing community vitality and building stronger families. We're committed to improving lives for all, and we'll never stop searching for the next scientific breakthrough that makes that possible. Now, while changing the world and making it a healthier, more equitable place is a formidable challenge, we're hopeful and ambitious and dedicated to making it a reality. Together with your help, we can continue to honor our great commitments. To learn about UGA's initiatives and see how you can help solve these problems and these big-time challenges, you can get involved by going to this website, give.uga.edu. It's give.uga.edu. It's great to have you here, with you here today on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy David Green right now. And we will say hello to David Green, the great former Georgia quarterback, a guy who had a great memory against the LSU Tigers back in 2004. We'll talk to him about that and a whole lot more in our program here today. David, thank you for your time. We appreciate you being back with us here today. And how are you today?
Doing good, Brandon. How you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. It's good to hear from you. And I want to talk to you about tailgate apparel before we're done here, because we're actually getting into a time of year where you start thinking about some of those great fleece items from tailgate apparel. As I was leaving the house today, it's a little cooler than it's been, Dave. And I was thinking that when I go into my sweatshirt, my closet, the sweatshirts I love pulling out more than any other are those that I have there from tailgate apparel. So later on, maybe we'll talk about how people can get stocked up for what might finally be fall weather here in the state of Georgia. Tailgate apparel, of course, as you know, a great place for that.
Hey, no doubt about it. Yeah, last couple of home games, I've sat in the stands, and I'm sitting here going, man, when is this fall ever going to hit? I know it's supposed to be technically fall, but it certainly doesn't feel like it, you know, sitting in the stadium. But, no, glad the weather's changing. Obviously, this hurricane just, you know, coming through. What a mess this is. But after this goes through, it, you know, we should have a beautiful weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And obviously our thoughts and prayers with all the folks in the Florida Panhandle, Southwest Georgia, all the folks dealing with much more serious weather. We're obviously in constant thought about them, and our prayers go out to them on that. And I guess with that said, let me transition back here to football here for a moment. And I talked before you joined us about my belief that the closer you get to game time on Saturday, the more I start to really look at Georgia-LSU as one of those classic nail-biter-style games. LSU does not lose very many games to good teams at home. Alabama's beaten them, but for the most part, other teams have seen some seasons come to maybe a disappointing conclusion there. Auburn hasn't won there, for instance, since 1999, as just an example here. So as a guy, David, in your career who did play in a lot of close games, made some big plays in some close games, what's the feeling like on the road in a game that is close? How does it feel different for some of these guys who may be going through that for the first time? Georgia just doesn't play a lot of close games anymore. What's it going to be like for them emotionally, physically, if they find themselves in a bit more of a nail-biter than they're used to?
Well, this is certainly going to be a game that's probably going to have a little bit more of the old-school feel. I don't think it's going to be quite as high-scoring as you're used to seeing in, you know, college football. You know, physical, it's going to be extremely physical. There's going to be a lot of adversity. Look, LSU, number one, they always have tremendous athletes. Year in and year out, they're always going to be good. You know, the one thing I'm excited about a little bit is, you know, they got, when they get beat by Florida, certainly that's going to rock some of the confidence, at least in the stands, somewhat. I remember when we came and played them in 2003, they were undefeated. We were undefeated as well going into the game, and there's a 3:30 kickoff, and that place was absolutely rocking. The best college football road environment that I could possibly think of. Grateful it's not a, you know, a night game, because that would take it to another level. Look, it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us. you know, Georgia, if you look at the, you know, the end of the scores at the end of the game, you know, we're winning by a pretty good margin, although it seems like, you know, the games are a lot closer, you know, in that first half. But the one thing Georgia's been able to do that has been nice to see is we've been able to close games out and really kind of just impose our will late in these football games. And LSU is going to be a great test for us because I think by far it's going to be the most physical and most talented team that we've seen so far.
Were you happy with what you saw from Jake Fromm on Saturday in the first half especially? It seemed like he had, you know, the handcuffs kind of taken off him a little bit. He had the 75-yard touchdown throw to Terry Godwin, got a chance to go hurry up there near the end of the first half. Of course, Kirby Smart's going to tell you that's all defensive dependent, you know, what the defense they saw made those kinds of things more possible, and I'm sure that's true. I'm sure I'm probably oversimplifying it by you know, comparing it to other games when Georgia hasn't done that. And yet, I think for a lot of people, it was kind of nice to see the Georgia passing game get a chance to flex a little bit. What did you make of what you got a chance to see from Fromm on Saturday?
Well, Fromm was, to me, he was steady and efficient pretty much like he always is. I mean, it seems like that, you know, this day and time, the, you know, the 14 for 19 with two touchdowns and no picks is kind of the standard, which, you know, we kind of get spoiled a little bit for that. But yeah, it was nice to see right there at the 2 minute before, you know, before half, it's just boom, boom, boom. And you kind of, to me, what I think it allows Jake, it allows him to get in some kind of a rhythm. And that's the one thing that's been a little bit challenging this year. And I think a lot of Georgia fans are scratching their head. You know, we're winning by double digits, but we're, it kind of got that feel like we're not in rhythm. And, you know, you look at last year, you know, we formed a clear identity in exactly who we were. We knew who our playmakers were. And when we came out and we kind of executed a game plan that we all kind of thought was going to take place. This year we have so many different weapons and so many guys that are – so many different players that are touching the football and being targeted. It just seems like we haven't gotten into a rhythm yet, although we're still making, you know, huge plays and big gains. But it just seems like time and time again we're still kind of sputtering a little bit, just trying to get things going, at least in the first half. But like I mentioned a few minutes ago, the great thing to see is some of these drives and the way we're imposing our will late in these football games. Yeah. And shutting them down.
So later on in our program, we're going to get a chance to play, courtesy of our friends at the UGA Vault, some great video of your 2004 game against LSU. We'll hear some Larry Munson calls on that as well. And David, I know you had a lot of big moments in a Georgia uniform, but I would imagine that has to be one of the more fun games that you played in. First of all, I think that Sanford Stadium that day may have been the loudest it had been at any point in time up until that game. Now, maybe it's been louder since then a few times, but in 2004, when y'all played LSU, LSU was the defending national champions. It was a blowout win for Georgia there that day. Crowd response was amazing. Maybe some of that was just based on the fact that, as you said, it was such an intense atmosphere when Georgia had traveled to LSU the year before. But I got to imagine, when you look back on that 2004 game, some big throws that you made to Fred Gibson and Reggie Brown, that has to be a really fun game to look back on, because from a Georgia standpoint, I don't know that Georgia on an individual Saturday has been too much better than what it was that day against LSU. And, of course, you were a big part of that. How much do you remember that game?
Well, I remember a lot of it. You know, coming back my senior year and thinking about some of the things you wanted to do. One was certainly beat LSU. I mean, they beat us twice the year before. They were defending national champs. We had a chance to play them at home, and you talk about some tremendous talent. I mean, they were loaded on defense with good players. And what they would do, Brandon, is they would try to put like nine in the box to stop them run. And they had two All-American corners. They had, I think it was Travis Daniels, and I think it was Corey Webster.
Yep.
And they would play press man, and they would say, hey, we think our corners are better than your receivers. And that's the way you're going to have to beat us. And really up till that point, nobody had beaten LSU or gotten the best of them when they played that kind of defense. So, I mean, it was a gamble for them, but it was a gamble that had worked really every time up to that game. And then Fred and Reggie, you know, both just totally went off that game. They got open. Our game plan worked perfect. I was throwing the ball well, and they just kind of stuck with their game plan. They rolled the dice. That's kind of who they were, and and we kept making them pay for it.
Well, I may get this story slightly wrong, but it's generally going to be right. I forget if it was Reggie Brand or Fred Gibson, but in the locker room after the game, I remember one of them saying that, you know, Coach Rick had essentially laid it at their feet to say, hey, listen, our success in this game is going to rest on your ability to get open against, as you said, with Webster and Daniels. These were NFL-style cornerbacks, and, you know, Gibson and Brown, who were two very good receivers themselves, but they were going to have to win that one-on-one battle. And the way that they told the story, maybe there's a little extra embellishment or drama added into it, but Rick was essentially to them saying, you either do this and we win, or you don't and it could get ugly, but the pressure's going to be on David, you throwing the football, and these guys getting open. Otherwise, it's going to be a really rough day between the edges.
Well, it's true, because, I mean, they put extra guys in the box. They totally committed to stop and run, and they had the athletes. You know, they could win one-on-one matchups in the box as well. So, I mean, we weren't going to get anywhere running the football that day. They basically just took the approach, LSU said, we think our corners are better than your receivers. And if we couldn't get open, we were going to be three and out and punt the entire game. But boy, do they get open. I mean, I've seen some of those highlights, and Reggie Brown and Fred, they got two or three steps on those corners. It was a special day, and it was one of those ones when the ball was coming in my hand just right. I was throwing exactly where I was wanting to, and it was one of those days you wish you could bottle up and bring it out every Saturday.
yeah, no doubt. That's a great one to think back on, and obviously a great moment for your team there in your career. And before we let you go, I do want to mention something you talked about before, because I think it's relevant what's going to happen on Saturday. You talked about the challenges of being there in 2003. That's a game that Georgia almost won. It was a close game against a team that, as we said, went on to win the national championship. You talked about how intense the atmosphere was in 2003 when you played at Death Valley. Did it match what you expected it to be? I'm sure that you guys spent a lot of time at practice trying to get ready for it. I'd be curious to know kind of what you do to prepare for an environment like that. And then ultimately, what could you tell the Georgia players, coaches, families of players and coaches who might be listening right now about what it's really going to be like on Saturday afternoon there in Death Valley? Because obviously you experienced it back when LSU was also a really tough team to beat on the road.
I'll say this. If you're a player that loves to compete, you love the college football environment, and you love to, the whole aspect of the game and the battle and the competition and the back and forth, this will probably be one of the most fun games that you play in, because it's a tremendous setting to get to play a college football game. If you're not very confident in yourself, this could be one that'll totally rock your world, kind of scenarios. Now, the one thing I can say from watching Georgia, Fromm is as confident and steady as anybody I've seen. I mean, you know what you're getting with him. He's pretty steady, and he's got a quiet confidence. We'll definitely be ready to play. I think when Jake and some of these guys will look back at this game, 5-10 years down the road, they're going to say, this is an awesome college football environment. And it's going to be one. It's not going to be an easy game. It's going to be one that's going to be back and forth. There's going to be moments where they have the momentum. It looks like things are going south. And then we're going to have somebody that makes a big play to kind of get that thing turned back around. It's just going to be one of those games. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be fourth quarters. But we're going to have to figure out, who's our leaders? Who are the guys that are going to step up and make plays? We're in a hostile environment. Everything's looking grim. Who's going to be those guys that are going to step up and make it happen? It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, David, I think that's really well said. And as we say goodbye to you here, I will say what I said off the top here. I know it's going to be a while here before we have another game back in Athens, November 10th against Auburn. I know the tailgate apparel have a big autograph signing there that day. But in the meantime, it really is time to start thinking about some of this fall gear, right? I told you before, I love my tailgate apparel sweatshirts. When I wear them, it's probably the clothing item I get more compliments on than really anything else. And so, David, as we're thinking about some cooler weather, maybe thinking about some Christmas gifts, tailgate apparel right there, 279 East Broad Street in Athens, becomes a great place to start thinking about some of that kind of stuff. Maybe it's shopping on the bye week next Saturday, or just finding a way to sneak over to Athens and enjoy that right there in a downtown Athens. It's a really good time of year to start stocking up on some of those items, right?
Well, you're dead on. I mean, they're changing all their gear as well. Obviously, beginning of the year, you're going to have T-shirts, because that's what everybody wanted, going into the games, and it's transitioning now, as you mentioned, and you're going to have the fleeces and all that. And as you mentioned, they've got some of the most comfortable stuff. And unfortunately, everything in there I like. It's one of those dangerous stores. There's a handful of stores that I can go into, and I'm like, this is kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
I want one of everything.
Yeah, I don't see anything I don't want. Yeah, that's right.
But I do want to mention this. We don't have the Auburn signing set up yet. We'll have it, you know, probably next time we talk. But I do want to mention we do have Knox Culpepper coming in for Georgia Tech, because when I think of Georgia Tech and some of the great players in that game, I don't remember if it was 26, 27 tackles or whatever, but I remember he had, you know, 25-plus tackles against Georgia Tech, and he's really excited and pumped about coming in and signing for the
Tech. That's going to be awesome. That's an incredible addition to that great day before the final regular season game for the Georgia Bulldogs. Knox Culpepper, one of the all-time greats. I know he's going to have some great stories to tell there at Tailgate Apparel. And it's going to be great there, the Auburn game in a couple of weeks also. David, I hope you get a chance to enjoy the game this weekend. I hope you get a chance to appreciate all that's going to be. And we certainly appreciate you allowing us to kind of go back down memory lane on a couple of your moments against the Tigers here. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily. We'll look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
Really good stuff there from the former Georgia quarterback, David Green. And, you know, it's kind of cool, and I've talked to some other people about this week. You know, first of all, on Friday, don't forget, we're going to have an incredible show on Friday. It's going to be 4 Eastern time if you're watching the Dog Nation video channels, but 3 p.m. Central time if you're in New Orleans. It's going to be at a place called Manning's, which is a sports bar right there in downtown New Orleans. It's near the Harrah's Hotel and Casino there. And what we're going to do is during the show, and we're going to give you a taste of this in a minute. You're going to get a chance to see some of what you'll get to see more of on Friday. But we're just going to go back and look at the great moments in the Georgia-LSU. I don't know if it's really a rivalry. These two teams haven't played a ton, but it has been a great series of some really pivotal games. Well, on Friday there on 519 Fulton Street in New Orleans at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern if you're watching on video, we're going to have our Dog Nation Invasion Preview Special. It's brought to you by our friends at Kroger and Marlowe's, R.S. Andrews, and Skyland Brookhaven. And we're just going to look back on some of the great moments in this series. And, of course, on Saturday, we'll look forward to seeing you at Walk-Ons, which is 3838 Burbank Drive in Baton Rouge. That's our Dog Nation Invasion tailgate. Our sponsors hanging out with us. A lot of the folks who've already made plans to be in Baton Rouge are going to come over and see us. That's just going to be an incredible time, and we're really looking forward to it. And as we get ready for the show on Friday, I've conducted a lot of interviews with former Georgia players, put together a lot of video packages courtesy of our friends at the UGA Vault. The one thing you realize is back in David's era, it was unique because Georgia played LSU twice in 2003. Then came back and played them the following year in 2004. That's 3 times in 2 years. Now, contrast that with what's going to happen on Saturday, where Georgia plays in Baton Rouge for the first time since 2008. Haven't played at all since 2013. There's been a lot of talk this week about how the 9-game conference schedule, if the SEC ever adopted it, could change some of that kind of stuff. I'm completely in favor of that. I think these kinds of games should cycle onto the schedule a lot more than they do. But, you know, when David speaks about Georgia and LSU, he speaks about an era in which these two teams were just thought to be more rivals. They played in 2 SEC championship games over the span of 3 years. There was just a lot more there then that made these teams kind of feel like rivals. So when he speaks about LSU, he speaks about one of the most significant teams that he faced in his entire UGA career. Now, later on, the 2004 game that he referenced, we'll show you some of that if you're watching on video, and if you're listening, you'll get a chance to hear the great calls from Larry Munson. Courtesy of the UGA Vault, as we celebrate Dog Nation Invasion with a look back on a great Georgia-LSU game, that's to come. For now, though, let's talk about some of the other big games in the SEC this weekend as we do our SEC through.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff there from the former Georgia quarterback, David Green. And, you know, we always joke with him about Tailgate Apparel when he's here with us. It is a great spot there in downtown Athens if you want to get some great apparel. I always hear from people who like the apparel, like what I wear. They see the stuff on the whether it's window shopping, whatever, on a Saturday night, and they say, that's a pretty cool store. It's the old Harry Bissett's building. You want to check that out. Speaking of checking some stuff out, why don't we check out some of the other big SEC games coming up here this weekend before we look back on the great Georgia-LSU game from 2004. It's our MyBookie Best Bets. You've been hearing me tell you about MyBookie for a while. They're the only service around Dog Nation that we would recommend because they're the only ones we trust. They are the fast, no-hassle payout folks. When you win, you want to get paid. The last thing you want to do is cash some winners only to see your money held up for days and days and days and days. At MyBookie, that's not going to be a problem. They're the fastest, no-hassle payout in the entire industry, and even better than that, they'll make you a winner before you even make your first bet, because when you make your first deposit is going to be matched dollar for dollar. But I have been told that this offer is going to go away here at a certain point, so make sure you get in and act right now so you take advantage of the great offer while it's still there, because it's, let's face it, it's essentially free money. So you got to take advantage of that. Use the promo code DOGNATION, all one word, spelled D-A-W-G, all one word, DOGNATION, when you find MyBookie online. MyBookie. Find them online. Promo code DogNation. You play, you win, you get paid. It's as simple as that at MyBookie. All right, our MyBookie best bets for the week. Here are the games of interest around the SEC and my thoughts on them. Take a look at Florida going to Nashville here against Vanderbilt on Saturday. Florida has struggled against Vanderbilt in recent years. This is one of those games in which everybody thinks that Florida ought to be riding high. They have beaten LSU at Mississippi State the week before that, at Tennessee the week before that. It's 3 weeks in a row where Florida, to a certain extent, has probably played better than some thought they were capable of doing, probably me included, when you add in the easy win against Tennessee there. This, I think, is a dangerous spot. I don't think Florida loses this game. But I think this is the classic we talked early in the show with the zigzag idea of, hey, you play great at home, then you got to go on the road. Vanderbilt's thought to be a sleepy environment. Vanderbilt just got blown out by Georgia. Commodores are dangerous here. This could be a field goal game, or maybe even less than that. I'll take Vanderbilt plus the 7. Now, if I'm wrong about this one, that means I've just been wrong about Florida as much as anybody can be wrong about one team. But as of now, I haven't seen anything that's going to cause me to change my overall philosophy here, that this is an average team that's probably a little bit more physical than I first gave them credit for, but plus 7, I think Vanderbilt is a my bookie best bet, so mark that down. Let's talk about Tennessee at Auburn here for a moment. This is one of those where, you know, depending on where you see the line at my bookie, I think there's a huge difference here between, you know, like, say, if it were to get down to a 14 or a 15, I think that there's a little bit of a line there. I am very tempted to take Auburn here. Overall, it may be a stay away because right now it's hard to know exactly what Tennessee is. But Auburn at a relatively low price is, I think, a decent play here. I mean, they're not going to play terrible every single week. They have not been great against the number as of late. But they lost last week, of course, to Mississippi State. But this might be a spot in which Auburn looks to get a little healthier against a Tennessee team that I don't think has all that much talent. This is a reluctant play, but ultimately, I guess I'm going to go ahead and call Auburn minus the 15 a my bookie best bet against the Tennessee Vols. It feels like I'm already going to regret that, but I will. I'll take the Auburn side there on that one. Texas A&M goes to South Carolina. South Carolina is a slight underdog, but the Gamecocks right now are not being given enough points for me to seriously take them as a dog here. There's too many questions at quarterback. The fact that Jake Bentley may be hurt, may also play. Skarnecki was the quarterback last week against Missouri. He played well enough to win, but let's face it, how big of a deal is beating Missouri right now? I guess there's always the thought at some point in time the freshman quarterback, Dacrion Joyner, could get involved here. A&M is good enough to win this game on the road. If South Carolina was a bigger favorite than, or I should say bigger underdog than this, I might be tempted to take them. But at a relatively low number, A&M can cover this spread on the road. I'll take the Aggies plus, or I should say minus the 2.5 as a my bookie best bet. Missouri at Arkansas is a really weird line. Minus 28, now you may see it, but depending on when you go to my book, you may see it at a slightly different spot. But 28 points right now for Alabama does not seem like an awful lot. What gives here for a Missouri team that just lost to South Carolina, lost to Georgia, almost lost to Purdue? Why is Missouri only a 28-point underdog here and not more than that? Alabama didn't cover last week against Arkansas. That may be part of that. There's also an issue here with Tua Tagovailoa, who apparently is dealing with a slight injury. Sounds like he's still going to play. Ultimately, this is probably a stay away for me. Could be that you see a lot of Jalen Hurts on Saturday, but it also could be that Nick Saban looks to get Jalen Hurts some stats and some numbers to reward him for sticking around. Ultimately, your guess is as good as mine how that works out in terms of over under that minus 28. I would stay away from that all the way around. And then quickly here, one more to give you. Ole Miss at Arkansas. I'll say the same thing about Arkansas that I said about South Carolina. As a home underdog, 6.5 points is not enough for me to consider taking the Razorbacks here. We know that Ole Miss can score points, and they're not very good defensively, but we know they can score points, and they scored 70 a week ago against Louisiana Monroe. That's enough points to make this an easy cover, because Arkansas, despite some close games as of late, it's still not very good. I'll take the Rebels as a MyBookie best bet. And of course, use the promo code DogNation, and good luck to you this weekend when you find MyBookie online, MyBookie. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, as promised, You know, you heard a lot of this from David Green a moment ago. And as a young fan in the early stages of my media career, that Georgia-LSU game in 2004 was a big deal for me. We're going to do a lot on this tomorrow for our Dog Nation Invasion special live from New Orleans at Manning's. But as a taste of what you'll see then, courtesy of our friends at the UGA Vault. And by the way, you're going to hear me talk a lot about the UGA Vault in the next couple of days because they've been great at supplying us some great Larry Munson highlights and some great video. You will love the UGA Vault. You just simply go to UGAVault.com to find out how you can download the UGA Vault app. But the way that you get access to all the stuff is through the UGA Vault app. So find that app, download it. It's totally free to download, by the way. More than 100,000 people have already downloaded it. And why would you not want to if you're a Georgia fan? Because of the access you get to great highlights through the years, the months and stuff. It is very well worth your time to do. You're going to spend a lot of time on it. I already have done that as well just this week alone. And some of the great stuff that you've seen. See at the UGA Vault app what you're going to get a chance to see right now. 2004, Georgia beats LSU in Athens as a preview for Dog Nation Invasion. Hope you enjoy it right now.
The following game was at home against defending co-national champion LSU on an afternoon that saw the defense force three fumbles and record five sacks behind the hard hitting of Odell Thurman, David Pollack, and Thomas Davis. On offense, David Green would set a school record with five touchdown passes on a 45-16 rout of the Tigers.
Green back there, going to take it. Going to throw, going to lead a receiver. Touchdown in the corner. Green takes it and is going to throw down the corner, and it's going to be a touchdown to Gibson.
David Green in a shotgun, takes a snap. Green looks, and he's going in the corner for Gibson. Touchdown, a diving catch. Touchdown, Gibson.
So tomorrow, live at Manning's at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central. And if you can come by, we'd love to have you come by. We're going to celebrate more of those great Georgia-LSU moments and just really have a great time there. And if you want more of this as well, you can check out the UGA Vault. Download the UGA Vault app. And, of course, we'll look forward to seeing you both in New Orleans on tomorrow for our big broadcast at Manning's and there on Saturday as well for our Dog Nation Invasion tailgate in Baton Rouge at a walk-ons on Burbank Drive. Going to be a lot of fun. We appreciate the UGA Vault and their app for supplying us with those video highlights. We appreciate our sponsors, Kroger, Marlowe, Skyland, Brookhaven, and our friends from R.S. Andrews for making Dog Nation Invasion possible. It is going to be an incredible time, and we cannot wait for it on that. Let me also take a moment here before we wrap up the show, though, to say one more serious point here, actually a couple serious points. David Green mentioned this before. Obviously, boy, our thoughts and prayers right now are with, you know, one of the cool things about doing Dog Nation daily on a regular basis is the number of people that listen kind of really all over the world. That's one of the reasons why I say the worldfamousdognation.com, because I hear from people really all over the place that consume the show. And obviously, for the people who live in the Florida Panhandle, many of you do. People who live down in Southwest Georgia, many of you do. Other places as well. I know the Carolinas now are going to be facing some heavy rain over the next couple of days. Obviously, for those of you impacted by Hurricane Michael, boy, our thoughts and prayers with you. We know you're going to build back up better than ever. But I know that's a challenging time right now. Obviously, we won't stop thinking about you, despite the fact that it's a big football weekend for the University of Georgia. And then on another serious note, many of you are probably aware that the UGA legendary former broadcaster, a guy that's still involved, I guess, in the pregame shows and postgame shows to a certain extent, Lauren Smith was also involved in an accident at practice this week where he was attending the Georgia practice. A couple players collided with him, and he had some situation that required some medical attention right there. It sounds like he's on his way back to a good health here, and obviously we keeping a good thought here for Lauren Smith as well, a longtime great DGD, and we know he's going to be feeling very much better very soon here as well. All right, good stuff. Let me do a quick Gatorade countdown because there's something else I want to tell you about. 16 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. They're going to beat the Florida Gators again. It's our Gator Hitter Countdown right here on Dog Nation Daily. And while we're thinking about the community, I just mentioned a couple things there. You've heard me talk to you before about the website walkofheroes.org. I want you to go to walkofheroes.org because you see right there a great fundraiser being put together to benefit a really important thing, which is it's basically rebuilding a monument that has been that need some tender love and care. Walkofheroes.org going to do that. Some great former Georgia players like Pat Dye, Charlie Trippi, 1980 National Championship team, some helmets signed by the 68 and 78 SEC Championship team members, a whole bunch of cool stuff. So please go to walkofheroes.org to find out how you can benefit that great cause and get some cool UGA stuff as well. We'll see you in New Orleans tomorrow, Dog Nation Invasion. Y'all have a great day, everybody.